The Gemara in recent Dapim in Maseches Brachos speaks a little bit about Na'ama Aretz and what the status of Na'ama Aretz is. So I thought maybe we would talk a little bit about Amaratzim and what their status is b'zman hazeh for certain halachas. Now, to do a thorough examination of the halachas of Na'ama Aretz would be way too much. It's mentioned hundreds of times in Shas in a number of different contexts. For example, all of Maseches Demai is based on Na'ama Aretz not being makbid, or a significant minority of Amaratzim not being makbid about Trumas Maisos. There's a long sugya in Maseches Pesachim, Daf Mem Tes, that says some pretty awful things about Amaratzim, that any suda she'ena shel mitzvah, Talmud Chacham is not rashi lahanos mimena. And what's a suda she'ena shel mitzvah? Bas Talmud Chacham lama aretz, that a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to participate when a bas Talmud Chacham marries an amaretz, is considered a tragedy. An amaretz is not allowed to eat basar, you're not allowed to marry the daughter of an amaretz, you can't travel with an amaretz, and even much, much harsher things about Amaratzim that appear in Pesachim Daf Mem Tes. But as far as Maseches Brachos Daf Mem Zayin, the Gemara just says, Ein mizamnin alav, that we don't include an Na'ama Aretz in a Zimun. So if you look around the table and you count that there are three guys eating together, but one of them is Na'ama Aretz, says the Gemara, you're not allowed to count him toward a Zimun. So is this halacha lemaisa? So first the Gemara defines what an Na'ama Aretz is, because before you determine whether it's halacha lemaisa, you have to know how to define what an Na'ama Aretz is. So the Gemara tells us, eight different shittos as to what an Na'ama Aretz is. First possibility, Reb Meir says that he doesn't eat chulin b'tahara. That's a high standard, that we're all amaratzim. Then you have the shita of the chacham that he doesn't take maestros properly. And then it starts getting to much lower levels. Rabbi Lazar says that he doesn't say kriyashma shachris v'arvis. So even an obvious mitzvah like kriyashma he doesn't do. Rabbi Shua, he doesn't wear tefillin. Ben Azai says he has no tzitzis bebigdo. So he wears a beggar of dal kanfus without tzitzis. Rabbi Nassan says no mezuzah bepischo. He doesn't have a mezuzah on his door. So these are obvious mitzvahs that define a person as a Jew that he doesn't do. But still, we have lots of Jews that don't do, Rachman al Tzlan, that don't do these mitzvahs. So would they not be included in a zimun if they don't do these mitzvahs? But then the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Nassan Yosef says, he has kids and he's not megadlin the Talmud Torah. He wants to send his kids to give them the best secular education, but doesn't care about their Talmud Torah. And then Acherim say that even if you have a person who's Kara Vishana, but he's Lo Shimish Tamidi Chachamim Areza Ama Aretz, even if he learned a lot of Mikra and a lot of Mishnah, but he was not Mishamish Tamidi Chachamim, so that too is Nama Aretz, Amar Avhuna, Halacha Kacherim, that we paskin like Acherim, that is the definition of Nama Aretz, someone who's not Mishamish Tamidi Chachamim. Chazanish and Shavias and Simin Yud, Simkan Zayin, points out that from this Gemara it seems that Kara Vishana of Lo Shimish Tamidi Chachamim is better than the others, than the people who just don't do anything, don't do Kriya Shema, or don't, because it's Afilu, that even if he's Kara Vishana, and you don't need to, and obviously all the rest of the people on the list, they're for sure Amaratzim, but from Sota Daf Chav Beis, it sounds like that guy is the worst guy. In Sota Daf Chav Beis, it refers to a person who is Kara Vishana and not Shimish Tamidi Chachamim as a Rasha Arum. So the Chaznish says that it seems that the worst kind of Amaretz is someone who's a person who has who's mishnei who's sedur lo mikufya. He learns, he has a lot of knowledge, but he's any yodei la'ayin ulahavin. He doesn't understand things on a deep level, but based on his ability to Google, or based on his ability to have like a very surface level of knowledge, he's misga'a neged rabbeinu ayodim atorah be'emes. He acts with gaiva toward Rabbanim who actually know Torah, who know Torah on a deep level and actually understand Torah, and that's the worst kind of Amaretz. Okay, so can you include, now that we know what an Amaretz is, that it's someone who's not Mishamish Tamidi Chacham, and potentially all the other people also that miss out on certain obvious mitzvahs, are we allowed to include him in a zimun? So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Tzadi Tesiv Gimel says, Amaretz Gomur, if you have a person who fits every definition of an Amaretz, Mizamnin Alav Bizman Hazeh, we include him in a zimun. Beferish in the Gemara that we don't include him in a Zimun. So why in the world are we do we include Amaretz Gomur in a Zimun? So the Rishonim have several approaches. Tosos, which is the one we paskin like, Tosos in Maseches Brachos writes, based on the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Chav Beis, that nowadays we're Mekabel Eidos from Amei Haratzos in order that they shouldn't go and build a Bama Liatzma. They shouldn't go and build their own Bama. What does that mean? It means that if we do too much to distant the Amei Haratz, then they're just going to be Parish Menetzibur, meaning we're going to be starting a reform movement if we do whatever we can in order to marginalize them and push them out. So one has to be conscious of what that's going to do to the Jewish community, and that's why we would include Amei Haaretz in a Zimun nowadays, says Tosos. There is a Machlokas HaPoskim, whether this would mean that we even include an Amei Haaretz who violates mitzvos meforsamos, like Kriya Shema. Let's say, you know, it's not just that he's not Meshamish Tamid HaChacham, but he doesn't do anything. He doesn't even do the most basic mitzvos. So Mishnah Brura in Kufzai Tesiv Katan Beis quotes, Yesh Omrim, Sha'afal Pekein Mezamin Alev. Even if he's someone who doesn't even do the most basic mitzvos, we include him in a Zimun. But then he quotes that the Magen Avraham says that, no, for someone who's such an outsider, someone who's not even interested in doing the basics of Judaism, you don't have to worry that it's going to tear apart Klal Yisrael to marginalize such a person. You're allowed to marginalize such a person. It's not going to tear apart Klal Yisrael. Then the Mishnah Berurah adds, Kolshkein Mishu Rasha Va'over Averos Bifaresya De'in Mezamin Alev. So whereas the Shulchan Aruch said, forget about the whole halacha, we include everyone in Zimun, Mishra Brura says, not so fast. If a person violates Averos Bifaresya, then we're in Mezamin Alev. It takes on like the status of a Mumar. So this may be similar to the Inyan of whether we can count such a person toward a Minyan, for Tefillah, but it may be different. You have to keep in mind that if a person comes to Davin, so it could be that he's done a lot of terrible things, or he does a lot of terrible things, but at least right now he's coming to Davin. Whereas when it comes to the Zimun, Ein Mezamin Alev means that you're not supposed to you're not supposed to have Su'udah together with such a person, because he can have an impact on you. He could be Mashpia on you. Davening, we don't assume, relates to the Hashpah that he's going to have on you. It just relates to whether he's Mesarif to a Minyan. But when it comes to a Zimun, it's about a sense of Kavius. That's the whole din of Ein Mezamin Alev. I mean, there's no din that an Amaretz is potter from Zimun. There's a din that you're not supposed to be eating together with an Amaretz and drinking together with an Amaretz. Anyway, that is Tosus's Shita, and that's the way the Mishnah Brura understands it. Tosus Maseches Chagiga and Daf Chav Beis has a slightly different sheet. He says that we're afraid that if we were to say that you can't be Mezamin and Am Haaretz, everyone's going to declare themselves a Talmud Chacham and decide who to marginalize. And he said, I'm more worried about more than I'm worried about the Yamei Aratzos, I'm worried about the Talmidei Chachamim, or the so-called Talmidei Chachamim, and it will just be used as a tool to divide people up. So it's not that they're going to create a fifth column, it's just that the Talmidei Chachamim are going to be, the people who declare themselves Talmidei Chachamim are going to use it as a way to distance other people. So the Bir Halacha and some Kuf Tzadites just points out that once we say that we're all Amaratzim, as far as this is concerned, and then we're certainly include Amei Haaretz in the Zimun. I mean, if you're going to say that no one nowadays has a din of Talmud Chacham, that we all have a din of Amei Haaretz, so then of course we include everybody in the Zimun, because there's no way that, like we just mentioned, there's no way that an Amei Haaretz is potter from a Zimun. Bir Halacha writes, Misho Chol Shum Vrecha Node, if you don't tell someone who ate garlic and his breath smells, you give him you give him one of these guys, right? You give him a Listerine packet. You give him a Listerine packet, right? You don't tell him to go eat more garlic, and that's going to help things. So if a guy's an Amaretz, you don't tell him not to do the mitzvah. There's no prerequisite to mitzvahs. If whatever mitzvahs he does are welcome, we encourage him to do mitzvahs. So once everybody's an Amaretz, so of course you can include him in Zimun. The Tosus Riyah Chassid quotes from Rabbeinu Shmaya that since the Gemara and Daf Mem Chesem Maseches Brachos says that Kol Yodea Lemi Mevorchin can be included in a Zimun, some Amaretz can also be included as long as they know what the Ribbono Shalom is. Why? What does the Gemara say? That Katan, it talks about a Katan being included in the Zimun. It says that Abaye and Rava were children, and Rabbi asked them, Yodea Lemi Mevorchin. So Rava pointed to the ceiling, and Abaye took him outside and pointed to the Shemayim. Parenthetically, one of the Achronim suggests that that's the basis for the idea of getting married, Tachas Kippas HaShemayim. That the idea was, I mean, it sounds from the Gemara, both Rava and Abaye were correct in pointing up, even though they pointed to different things. But Rava got his support in life from parents. So he didn't get directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was an intermediary. So he pointed to the ceiling. He didn't point all the way up to Shemayim. Abaye didn't have parents. Abaye was symbolically saying, I see directly via Hashem. I don't have anyone else to provide for me. So someone who's leaving his parents' house and is now going to be independent for the first time, so you get married, Tachas Kipas HaShemayim, that's how some of the Achronim explain the minhag of getting married underneath the stars. I mean, the Pashtus is like Mari Mintz, right? It's quoted by the Ramah, that the stars are a Simon Bracha, that's the real reason. But anyway, so the Tosos Riyah Chassid quotes from Ben Shemaya that based on that, as long as he knows Lamim is Amnin, as long as the Lamim of Arkham, that would be good enough. But Tosos Riyah Chassid says, no, that's not a good approach. That's talking about Katan. That has nothing to do with a person who's Dafka, an Am Aretz, and who's responsible to know better. So about a Katan is not responsible. The Mi'iri has a different Malach. He says that the entire din is not relevant nowadays because we sit together with Amei Aratzos. This whole idea is based on, like we mentioned before, the notion that you're not supposed to sit together with Amei Aratzim. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Gimel says, Al Yesev B'chaburus Amei Aratzos. But we do. We do it all the time. Mimele, you can make a Zeman with them. Pnei Yeshua isn't even sure what the Kasha is. He says, the Gemara might just mean that there's no Chiv to be Mizamilav, but maybe there's a Rishus to do so. So Pnei Yeshua answers, no, it must be that there's that it's not even a Rishus, that it's something that's usher to do. The Gemara says that Rami Bar Chama wouldn't include Rabbi Menashia in the Zeman because he held that he wasn't Mishamish Talmid Chachamim, that he had a din of an Amaris. So you see that it's not a Rishus. It's something that was gathering that was frowned upon, that you can't say Gadol Hashemiti together with Namaris. Okay, so now that we say La Halacha, Shulchan Aruch says that we do include everybody, except the Mishnah Berurah adds that Misha who Rasha va'over averus b'farhesia is not included in the Zimun. So lemaisa lemaisa bisman hazeh. There are lots of people that are over averus. You have someone over for a meal, and you count that there are three men at the Su'udah, and one of them happens to be a non-religious Jew. So do you say he's over averus b'farhesia? He's mechal shabbos b'farhesia. So I'm not going to do a Zimun, or do you do a Zimun and include him? So in the Sefer V'zos HaBrach, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman Orbach and many of the other contemporary Achronim. They say that nowadays it would only hold true if he's a Rosh Halachas who purposely stays away from Torah Mitzvos and is Mechal Shabbos Parasya. But people who were raised without a proper chinuch and are all Tinoka Shanishbu, and some even say that people who are raised with a proper chinuch, the world is such a crazy place, might be a Tinoka Shanishbu anyway, so you can include them. Post can point out that if they have no idea if they how to say the words, then you should tell them to listen quietly, and then we can include them in a Zimun. But certainly, if someone is just ignorant, then the Chazanish writes in Simon Yud Beis of Kantas, we have to be very kind to them, and we have to go out of our way not to be hateful or antagonistic, and certainly we would be allowed to include them in a Zimun if it's just a person who's ignorant of any Torah. So where this halacha is explicit in the Gemara, that we don't include Amei Aretz in a Zimun, it's pretty much explicit in halacha, it is explicit in halacha in Shulchan Aruch that we do, and even Rishayim, it could be that Bizman Azeh, we don't really have the status of a full-fledged Russia. Okay, everyone have a great time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.